You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Reinbrich. Joining us for the program this hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. This segment of the show brought to you by New England College's new Masters of Arts in Public Policy program, available online in Concord. For more information, go to nec.edu/public policy. I'm joined on the program right now by Max Boot, Senior Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, a renowned military historian. You see him on TV, read him in the New York Times, and he has written The Road Not Taken in regards to the American tragedy in Vietnam. We'll talk about his book, also the state of our nation as well right now. Max, how are you?
Good.
Great. Appreciate you joining us for the program. First off, kind of take us into the context behind the book, which unfortunately I have not had the opportunity to read as of yet. I really enjoy works from this particular time period because I feel that this needs to be discussed. Take us kind of inside the rationale and what this book is about.
Well, Edward Lansdale was a legendary covert operative whose story has never truly been told before. He helped to mastermind the defeat of a communist insurgency in the Philippines in the early 1950s, and then he went to Saigon in 1954 and helped to create the new state of South Vietnam. He became quite a famous figure, said to be the model for the quiet American and the ugly American, called the American James Bond and the T. Lawrence of Asia. But he later found himself on the outs with the Lyndon Johnson administration because he warned them that they were not going to be able to win the war in Vietnam through firepower alone. He consistently said that you had to create a viable state in South Vietnam that would win the support of the people of South Vietnam, but his advice was tragically ignored, and so that it becomes The Road Not Taken. And although Edward Lansdale has been written about a lot, it's never with the kind of depth and insight that I'm able to bring to it, because I've been lucky enough to get my hands on a lot of new information, including the love letters that Ed Lansdale wrote to his longtime mistress, a lady from the Philippines named Pat Kelly, who eventually became a second wife, and that provides this unprecedented window into his innermost thinking and allows me to tell this story not just as a military history, but also as an adventure story, a spy story, and a romance as well.
It's fascinating, and it's amazing, these types of things have found where you have get great detail and knowledge into an individual who has passed on. And we've heard a lot in the current context about the CIA, about our intelligence community, and the work that has been done through the course of our history in terms of intelligence from the Revolutionary War on to today is, we talk a lot about the individuals who fight the battles on the front lines, who strategically plan for those. But a lot of the success of our military and our nation should be, attributed to individuals who are in the intelligence community, in my view. And in this particular instance, you have an individual who had knowledge and expertise about what was going to take place that could have changed the course of history and was ignored.
Exactly, and Lansdale was really responsible for some of the unsung American success stories during the Cold War. For example, in the Philippines in the early 1950s, when there was real concern in Washington that communist insurgents known as the Hooks were going to take over in the Philippines, and he managed to defeat them working by himself behind the scenes with the Philippine Army and the Philippine Minister of Defense, Ramon Magsaysay. And what that meant was you could defeat this communist insurgency without risking any American troops in combat. That's a pretty good model, and that's one we need to think about today in the war on terror, because nobody wants to see American combat troops all over the greater Middle East. But if we can send small teams of advisors like Ed Lansdale, who can work with local governments to fight our mutual enemies, that's a pretty effective and powerful model.
It's Max Boot joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program, discussing his book, The Road Not Taken, in regards to Vietnam. And in your view, what are the greatest lessons still to be learned today in regards to Vietnam? I mean, have those lessons been learned? Because a concern, obviously, as you see with the Korean War, World War I, World War II, the War of 1812, and other conflicts in American history, as the individuals who partook in them pass on, very often the relevance, not just in terms of popular culture and in the mindset of the average American, but also in the mindset of our leaders, it tends to dissipate. And do you feel that there will be a day, and is that day even here now, where the lessons of Vietnam, you know, get pushed to the backdrop as individuals who partook pass on?
Well, I do worry about losing the lessons of Vietnam, in particular now when there is serious discussion within the Trump administration of a so-called bloody nose strike on North Korea, mm-hmm. using American air power to dissuade North Korea from continuing its nuclear weapons development. I mean, that to me is all too reminiscent of the rolling thunder airstrikes against North Vietnam that the Johnson administration launched in the hope of bringing North Vietnam to the peace table, and it didn't work. Instead, it expanded the war and sucked us in and led to the deaths of 58,000 Americans. So I think that's a cautionary lesson that we need to keep in mind. And I think there's also a lot of lessons from Ed Lansdale's experience in Vietnam, including about the primacy of politics, about the need to create a state that people can support instead of just killing insurgents. That's something that we need to keep in mind in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and elsewhere, where, again, we can kill a lot of bad guys, but you're going to have more created unless you can somehow get the politics of the local situation right so that people become more satisfied with the way that they're governed. And that's been a huge problem in the war on terror. That's something we haven't really addressed as much as we need to.
We could talk about that for hours because, the kind of the cart and the horse type of an argument there, where do you get engaged if there is not going to ever be a nation that is built in the aftermath? Or do you, kind of cut and run, as has been described by a number of individuals, that we use our firepower and we create a short-term solution and a winner, and then let everybody else sort it out as we leave? Because it seems like that's more the direction that we are headed in, where it is we do not get engaged in the nation building and the aftermath and the what happens after, but we create a game change, so to speak, in that nation. And then let them sort out afterwards, what happens. And you look specifically at North Korea. That's how it could happen.
Well, I think what you're saying does in fact reflect the dominant thinking in Washington today, but I'm just telling you, based on historical experience, it's not going to work, because if we pull out and if we don't get concerned with post-war politics, things fall apart very quickly. You saw that in the case of Iraq, where we pulled all of our troops out in 2010, and before long we had to send them back in because of the rise of Islamic State. So that's something we need to worry about today, having claimed quote-unquote victory over Islamic State. We want to make sure that it stays defeated, but unless we try to build up more stable political institutions, which is very hard to do in places like Iraq and Syria, I predict that you're going to see Islamic State 2.0 emerging in a few years' time.
What do you make of the Trump foreign policy doctrine, if you will? I spent during the campaign several hours interviewing him, and found him to be not terribly interested in foreign policy. Of course, there have been reported interests of him in regards to nuclear weapons and war itself. He's always been fascinated by generals and that strong leadership type of a quality. And I was concerned upon him taking office, and remain concerned, about military adventurism, and particularly in light of North Korea. What do you make of where Trump is on foreign policy? And have you been surprised that, given the fact that he is commander in chief and has control of the greatest fighting force in the world, that he has been reticent to use it so far?
Well, pretty much everything about Donald Trump surprises me. He's very unpredictable, and it's very hard to figure out what his foreign policy is, because I think you see this constant tension between his instincts, which are basically isolationist and protectionist, and the more kind of internationalist, traditional worldview of many of his advisors, and that leads to unpredictable outcomes where, he has not pulled out of NATO, he has not pulled our troops out of South Korea, but at the same time, he has kind of swaggered and engaged in nuclear threats against North Korea of a kind that you couldn't imagine coming from any other president, for example, bragging about how his nuclear button is bigger than Kim Jong-un's or calling Kim Jong-un little rocket man. I mean, this kind of rhetoric is very dangerous, and I'm very concerned that, along with the rhetoric, that the administration is seriously considering some kind of preemptive military strike on North Korea, which I think would be a very dangerous and foolhardy move.
When you look at how the administration functions in regard, or doesn't function, in regards to foreign policy and military matters, you know, the question has been raised at times as to who is actually running the nation in regards to foreign policy and military matters. Is it Rex Tillerson, who we were both critical of in regards to him being named Secretary of State, who has been embattled at times, and now, you know, that he's been, there hasn't been a lot talked about him or reported about him in recent months. James Mattis, who many feel is actually the individual who is the commander in chief, so to speak. And John Kelly, another former general who is the chief of staff. Obviously, there are decisions that need to be made on a day in, day out basis in regards to the military and in regards to what American foreign policy is. Do you see the and believe that the president is making those decisions, or are we in fact being run to some extent by a military complex?
It's very hard to say day to day. I think it really varies decision by decision. I think there are some issues that Trump gets very exercised about. For example, he keeps trashing the Iran nuclear deal, saying it was the worst deal ever, but he hasn't quite withdrawn from it because I think his advisors, like National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster and Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, have told him that there's really not a good option for withdrawing. That's not going to, despite the flaws in the agreement, withdrawal is not going to make the situation any better, and it could make it a lot worse. And so, you know, you see this kind of daily tension going on between Trump and his advisors, and to some extent, the advisors can keep him in check for at least some period of time. But sooner or later, I think what you see is that he is the commander in chief. It's very hard for subordinates to truly bind the commander in chief and prevent him from doing what he truly wants to do. And you can sort of see Trump chafing at the bit. I can see him just very eager to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal, to pull out of NAFTA, to slap sanctions on China. And, you know, again, he's being restrained to some extent, but, you know, he's only been in office a year, so I just don't know how long those restraints will last.
That's Max Boot joining us here on the program. He has written The Road Not Taken, a biography of Edward Lansdale, which I encourage you to check out, and I plan to read. Unfortunately, I was unable to read it prior to this interview, as we've been busy here over the last couple of weeks. Final thing in regard to Lansdale. You know, to me, some of the more fascinating individuals in the course of our history are individuals who we don't know their names, whether it's in music or sports or politics or military. And, you know, to me, how fascinating are those individuals? And did that draw you in some ways to Lansdale? As you mentioned, things have been written about him in the past, but the full story has not been necessarily told. What is intriguing about, you know, the individual kind of outside of the common names that we hear of in regards to Vietnam with, you know, presidents and generals and so forth?
Well, I think Lansdale was one of the most influential behind-the-scenes people. And, you know, just a fascinating story, as I mentioned, with not only with his professional life, but also his personal life, this romance with this Filipino lady. So there was all this skullduggery and machinations that he undertook on behalf of the CIA, some of which worked, some of which failed. And his involvement in the Vietnam War, fairly unique, because he was there from day one in 1954, from the creation of the state of South Vietnam, on and off right through the Tet Offensive in 1968, which was going on 50 years ago this month, and it did not leave until the middle of 1968. So his individual story, Ed Lansdale's individual story, is really the story of our involvement in Vietnam. And by telling his story, I'm able to tell the story of our involvement in Vietnam in a way that it hasn't been told before, to reveal some new aspects of the conflict and focus on things from his vantage point in a way that previous authors have not done.
Really appreciate you joining us for the program. Look forward to talking to you again at some point, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, that is Max Boot here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. This segment of the program presented by New England College's Masters of Arts and Public Policy program. And this hour of the show brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health. The book is The Road Not Taken, a biography of Edward Lansdale. And that was Max Boot, one of the nation's foremost experts in regards to foreign policy and the military. He served as a part of John McCain's campaign, a foreign policy advisor, in 2008. He's been a vocal critic of President Trump during the course of his administration to date. This is the New Hampshire Now program here on 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Still to come here on the program, we're joined by former Patriot Troy Brown, Patriot Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champion. He joins us up next here on Hampshire Now to talk about the future of the Pats.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.